welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here, and welcome to anyone who has found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend, so please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit, and let's see what the Lord has for all of us as we're spending time with Him today. Oh, I love His Word. I love spending time in His Word. I love sharing with you what He's showing me as I'm spending time in His Word. And I continue to pray for you that the Lord would draw you closer to Him, that He would give you more of a desire to know Him and to spend time with Him, that you would have a hunger and thirst for His Word and for His righteousness, and that you will see the necessity of spending time with Him. You know, this is our spiritual nourishment. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is what feeds us. And so if for nutrition's sake, we don't want to just take a little nibble here once a week or every 2 weeks. It needs to be an everyday thing, and several times throughout the day that we think about Him and His Word. And you know, Jesus was quoting what Moses had told the people. Of course, Jesus is the Word, and He was there before Moses, and so it was all from Him. But it's just so important for us to spend time with Him. No time spent in His Word is ever wasted. And so I just want to encourage you in that, whether you're listening to a podcast, also have a time that you're reading the Scripture, that you're studying it. We don't want to just read it and forget what it says. We need to slow down and just park in a few verses at a time and think about what He is saying, what His Word is saying to us. Have a memory verse that you're working on. Have things stuck throughout your house or at your office or all over the place to encourage you to think about His Word. It makes such a difference. Please consider sharing this podcast with friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it, and know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. You can find my email down in the show notes. It's awordforthisday@gmail.com. Well, our verse for the day for April the 23rd, 2024, comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, verse 23, and it reads as follows from the English Standard Version. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Oh, friends, how I want to worship in spirit and truth and be a true worshiper that the Father seeks. May we do that. I'm excited for us to park here, for us to see what was going on. Who was Jesus talking to? What was He referring to? What was going on? What were the events that led up to Him talking about this? You know, if you've been on this journey with me for very long, I think it is very wise and it's necessary for us to take these few minutes to think about where we are in the Scripture. This helps us, it helps guard against interpreting things wrongly, taking things out of context, and we surely do not want to be guilty of that. And so we will seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to help us with this as we study. But we are in this gospel. We've been in 1 John several times this month, as we talked about just a few days ago. But this is another one of John's writings. This is written by the Apostle John, as were 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. This is not the same John, if you are new to this podcast, as John the Baptist. This is one of the disciples, and Jesus called John and his brother James, who were sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen. He called them while they were there with their father, and He said, follow me, and they left what they were doing, and they followed Him. This John, who is the writer, is thought to be the youngest of the apostles. He describes himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. And as I've told you before, I don't think that was because he was saying, look at me. I think he truly realized the depths of Jesus, or was beginning to realize the depths of Jesus's love for him and for everyone. And may we start to realize that as well. He and his brother James, as well as the Apostle Peter, were often mentioned together as three of the apostles who were kind of in that inner group, that inner circle with Jesus. They were able to see Jesus transfigured. The apostles walked with him during his earthly ministry. They saw his miracles. They saw his miracles over the natural realm, over the physical realm, over the spiritual realm. They saw his healings. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw him cast out demons. And so John was an eyewitness. And I love, and I tell you this frequently when we're in his writings, and it's because it's so important to think about his purpose for writing this gospel. I just love it. If you look over here in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he tells us why he wrote this. It says, therefore, many other signs Jesus also did in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And I don't know why this just popped in my mind, but when I read this scripture, if I said it was from the English Standard Version, it was not. It was from the Legacy Standard Bible. After over 800 episodes of saying English Standard Version, it's taken me a while to get into the habit of saying Legacy Standard Bible, so I apologize for that. I think it probably did roll off my tongue that it was from the ESV, but I've been using this Legacy Standard Bible recently because I do think it is probably the closest, even closer than the ESV, to the original text, and you can read more about that. You can look in the show notes and find some links if you would like to read more about that version. But anyway, John knew that the way to eternal life was through faith. And he so wanted everyone who would read this to believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he was sent from God for a specific purpose, and that was for us. All of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and we can't have that without Jesus. We couldn't have that close, restored relationship with God the Father. And we had a default setting. All of us, our default destination is hell because we're sinners, unless we turn from that way and we believe in Jesus and believe what he's done for us, that God sent him to be that perfect sacrifice for us. He died on the cross. He spilled his blood for you and for me. His body was broken for you and for me and for everyone in the world. He died. He was placed in that tomb. He was resurrected on the third day. He defeated death and hell and sin in the grave. He was seen by many. John was one of those who saw him before and after. He ascended back to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. John talks about that. God graciously allowed John to write these things so that we could believe and so that we can know. And so I'm just so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for us. And John wanted everyone to know that as well. And so you will see that throughout his writings. As I may have mentioned, he's thought to be the youngest disciple. He's also, or apostle, I should say. He was also the longest surviving of the apostles. It's thought that when he wrote this, and perhaps even the book of Revelation, that he was somewhere in his 80s or 90s. And he has a very grandfatherly, loving tone. The tone and the writing style of his writings are different than what we see in the other gospel writers. And I'm thankful, you know, God did that on purpose. Of course, he knew exactly who he was choosing to write these. But there in the gospels were four different writing styles, four different men, and I just am so thankful for that, because it gives us a fuller, richer, deeper glimpse. We probably can't have a full understanding yet until we get to heaven, but we can start to understand what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us, and I'm just so thankful for that. John's gospel does not contain the parables like the other three gospels, there was a very specific reason that God had for it to be that way. We see a lot of Jesus's prayers and a lot of his words recorded here, and I'm just so thankful. Well, where we find ourselves today is maybe not long. It's a while after Jesus did his first public miracle that's recorded at that wedding in Cana of Galilee. And then he goes into the temple and runs out those who were the money changers. And then he has that interaction with Nicodemus at night, where he talks to him about being born again, and then tells Nicodemus why Jesus came, which is one of the verses that many of us learn first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we read that he went from Cana to Judea and then was on his way back to Galilee. And I love what it says at the beginning of chapter 4 of John. It says, in verse 3, he left Judea and went away into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Now, I love that, because I think it's deeper than that was the only way he could get there. I think it was he knew, being led by the Spirit, that there was a very important appointment that he had with the woman at the well in Samaria. And so I just love that. And that is the setting here. He was tired. He was weary from his journey. And so he sat down. He went to this well. And I'm going to read forward so you could get the setting here and read forward to our verse for the day, and maybe just a little past it. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how do you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, being a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, ever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty, nor come back here to draw. He said to her, go call your husband and come back here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And here's our verse for the day. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. And I'm going to read right past that. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Oh, gracious, there is just so much here, but we're just going to focus on this part about worship. I love this encounter that the Lord Jesus had with the woman from Samaria. There's just so much that we can learn, but we're going to park here. You know, she kind of changed the subject after Jesus had pointed out and revealed himself to know things about her after he had pointed out when she said, I have no husband, that in fact she had had five and the one that she was with now was not her husband. And so that caused her to change the subject somewhat. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And she talks about how her fathers worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews said that Jerusalem was a place to worship. From what I've read, the Sumerians and Samaritans, they had been at odds with the Jews. I think their kingdom was in that northern kingdom of Israel. You remember, we've talked about previously, back after the 12 tribes of Israel, they were, when they first had their king, Saul, and then David, and then Solomon, it was a united kingdom with the 12 tribes. But because of Solomon's disobedience, the kingdom was split, and there was 10 northern tribes and 2 southern tribes. And Samaria became kind of, I think at some point, part of the capital of that area up there. And later, you know, they were completely scattered and all of this. But some of those in Samaria, they believed in God, but they had gone far, far away, and they thought that they were supposed to worship on Mount Gerizim. Because that was the first place that I think, from what I've read, that Abraham built an altar to the Lord. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. But they thought that was where they were supposed to worship. And many of the Samaritans only believed in the first 5 books of the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch, and not in some of the prophecies, although they knew that the Messiah was coming, so they had to believe part of that. And we know that it talks about that one who would come all the way back in Genesis 3. And then the Jews, of course, because of what had happened with David and the southern kingdom of Judah, and through that, through David's offspring, would be one who would never fail to sit on the throne of Israel forever and ever. And that was talking about Jesus. You know, at a time, they worshipped in Jerusalem. And so that's what she was talking about. But Jesus told her, he said, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. And he's telling her, you worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Of course, he was that salvation right there. He was Jewish. It had come just as God had promised, just as he had made his covenant and said it would be so. And then he tells her, because right up there he'd say, there an hour is coming when you won't worship in either in these places. And then in our verse for the day, but an hour is coming and now is. So it's here. It's right here before you. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. You know, it was not going to be that you had to go just to a certain place, to a temple, to a certain location. They would be able to, and we can now worship wherever we are. And it's not an outward show. It's not just making a pilgrimage to a place just to show that you've been there. It's not doing certain rituals. There's no works involved. It is from our heart. It's from the spirit, from the inside of us. And we're worshiping in truth because we're worshiping the one true living God. We're worshiping the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one through whom no one There's no other way but through him that anyone can come to the Father, and that's Jesus. And we know that we're able to worship, and we're led to be able to worship because of that Holy Spirit that he gives us. I want to remind you of what we've read over in 1 John. When the Apostle John was giving a little bit of a warning to the people about making sure they tested the spirits, so to speak, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." And that has to be part of this worship. Once we realize what he has done, once we realize what God has done for us in loving us so much that he would send his son, once that we realize what Jesus has done in dying for us on that cross, for paying the penalty that we owe, and we accept that gift of grace that's not based, that gift of salvation, it's by grace through faith, that is not based on our worthiness, it's not based on our works, it's based on who they are and what they have done for us. There's nothing but worship that can pour forth. That thanksgiving, that talking to them, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that one true God, but three persons, speaking to them and worshiping and pouring out our thanks and our adoration for what has been done for us, what has been given for us. But it starts in the heart. And that was so much what she's talking about. I mean, what the Lord Jesus was talking about, I think we can go through the motions in worship. We can sing the songs. We can stand up and down. We can walk into a place of worship where believers gather. But if it's not coming from our heart and we're not worshiping the one true living God, and we're not worshiping in that truth and knowing who he is and what he's done for us, it's hard to be a true worshiper. But you know, the other thing that is just so neat here, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. He sought us out. He has allowed us to be his worshipers. And may we be that those worshipers that the Father seeks. And it's not anything of ourselves, but we show that we love him. We show that we want to be his by our heart attitude and by what we do. Not that works allow us to be his, but in this way, I want you to hear, and we go to this verse often, but it's the evidence. It shows how we know him in John 14:23. It says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him.'" See, his dwelling is not in a house made by hands. His dwelling is with us. It's God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we know him. We know the truth of him. And we worship from our inside. We worship him by knowing more of him. And friends, the way we know more of him is that we're in his Word. And we spend time with him, and also from the Spirit that he gave us once we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. So may we be those true worshipers that the Father seeks. May we seek to know him, and he will draw us ever closer to him, because that's how he does. I'm so thankful that he draws us to him. I'm so thankful that when we draw near to him, he draws ever nearer to us. And that should cause us to worship all the more. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.